There's a saying that you've heard me say many times. In fact, it's the title of the message today. It's a saying that's motivated me to serve the Lord throughout my life. And it's there in color at the top of your study notes. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I really like you to say that with me. Let's say it together right now. Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. This was a saying by Charles Thomas Studd. He's commonly known in biographies as C.T. Studd. And it's encouraged me throughout the years to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. C.T. was born in England in 1860, long time ago. He was one of three sons, and his dad made a lot of money being a planter in India. He made his what today would be millions, and then he moved back to England to spend it. Charles, though, he didn't get saved until he was 18 years old. His dad previously had got saved when he attended a D.L. Moody meeting, and he came to know Christ as his Savior and was pressing his family to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But Charles put it off and put it off and put it off. Finally, they had a guest minister come and stay with them, and the minister asked Charles, "Are you a Christian?" Charles hemmed and hawed around and didn't really give a credible answer, so the minister really pressed the issue. And then, as I read from the biography, Studd tells what happened as he acknowledged God's gift of eternal life received through faith in Christ. And he says, "I got down on my knees and I did say thank you to God. And all right then," and there was joy. And right there was joy and peace that came into my soul. I knew then what it was to be born again. And the Bible, which had been so dry to me before, became everything. His two brothers also got saved that same day. Now, Charles Studd was a real avid cricket player. Now, we don't know much about crickets, and I'm not talking about those things that chirp, but it's a kind of a game. He was even the lead cricket player at Eton College. But he occupied so much of his time with cricket that Charles himself says, "Instead of going and telling others the love of Christ, I was selfish and kept the knowledge to myself." As a result of that, his faith began to grow cold, and he began to become more active in the world. And he says, "I spent 6 years in a very unhappy backslidden state." See, Christianity was designed to be active. Christianity was designed not to be something that you do, but a Christian is something that you are. And the Lord really got a hold of him again, and he met the Lord again after going to hear D.L. Moody for himself. And he says, "I began to try to persuade my friends to read the gospel and speak to them individually about their souls." He was going to Cambridge University in Cambridge, England, and there were seven who the Lord really got a hold of their lives. And if you do any reading, they're called the Cambridge Seven. And they offered themselves to China Inland Mission. And as a result of that, he served as a missionary in China. And then later on, he served as a missionary in India. And finally, the last 6 years, until he died, he served as a missionary in Africa. Now, his dad had left him a large amount of money, but he gave all that money away to good causes, kept just a little bit to help him on the mission field. But the Lord called him home in July of 1931, and the last words on his lips were hallelujah. You know, there's four sayings that Studd used throughout his life. The most famous one is the one that really has made an impression on my mind: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. But there's another one that you read quite often, and it's true. He says this, quote, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Boy, think about that. Think about that. A more famous one that probably you've heard, he said, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. So you can change your notes there. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. He wanted to see people saved because he knew their destiny. I like this last one too. God's real people have always been called a fanatic. God's real people have always been called a fanatic. I've been called a fundamentalist, a fool for Christ, a nut. You know, C.T. Studd took very seriously and demonstrated it by his life. The first saying, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. And I've been watching in the stores publish magazines about key events that have happened in 2019, and there have been some programs about key events that happened in 2019. Major things that people did or something, but I want to pose you a question with only one life to soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. With that in mind, number one, what did you do in 2019 that will last for eternity? What did you do in 2019 that will last for eternity? I could put it another way. Have you invested in your heavenly bank account this past year? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says this. If it's not marked in your Bible, it would be a good one to mark. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I just want to have you mentally take an inventory of the past year. Just mentally take inventory. Have you been laying up? Did you lay up? What did you lay up in your heavenly bank account that will last for eternity? In other words, I'm asking you, how did you use your time for the Lord? How did you use your gifts for the Lord? How about your talents for the Lord? How did you serve the Lord? I do want you to think about that. I do want you to take some inventory as we face 2020. And it isn't that I'm talking about that you had to do some huge, major thing, because even the little things are important, because the Bible says that if you offer a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, it will be rewarded. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the things that I remember, people who changed tires. Somebody had a flat tire in the parking lot. I'm thinking about those of you who stepped up and cleaned up after a banquet so that people could hear the message of the Lord. I'm thinking about those of you who sung in the choir, those of you who teach in classes, those of you who get the little gospel tracts and give them out, those of you who use your lips to speak. That's all investing in your heavenly bank account. And so take some inventory of that. But then that brings me to my second key point. How do you intend to add to your eternal bank account in 2020? What are your plans for 2020 as a Christian? The text I'm going to look at is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 through 17. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." There are several important things to consider as we look over this passage. The first one is that our time is limited. Our time is limited. It's very interesting here. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly." That means carefully. You know, Christians, how we live our lives and use our time is very important. Fools don't give much thought to how they conduct themselves. They're just flying by the seat of their pants. They don't pay a lot of attention to how they use their time. As long as it's fun, as long as it's pleasurable, well, that's okay by them. But our time is limited. For me, I don't know about for you, but looking out there, some of you, I'm sure, think about this too. Psalm 90, verse 10 is quite a sobering verse. In Psalm 90, verse 10, it says, "The days of our years are 70. You know what that is? 70. You know what I'm going to be in about 22 days? 71. Okay. Yeah, I'm living on borrowed time. Well, really? I mean, that's why I say it's a sobering verse. Now it says, "If by reason of strength, then 80, that's 80. Some of you are there. "Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow." And then it says this, "For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Now some of you are going to say, "Well, you know, we're not up there. We're young." Well, I'm thankful for that, but I do caution you. Nobody has a mortgage on tomorrow. I've had funerals for newborns. I've had funerals for preborns. I've had funerals for young kids. I've had funerals for teenagers, people in their 20s. James 4:14 is quite sobering as well. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." There isn't any one of you who know for sure what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why it's important you live for the Lord today. Make you buy up the time for today, because we don't know what we have tomorrow. I don't know what I have tomorrow, whether I don't, and neither do you. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, but what is your life?" Now look at this. "It is even a vapor." Now we don't know a whole lot about that before, but when we got married, we were purchased a tea kettle. And when we first got married, I'm not sure that microwaves were made, or we couldn't afford one or didn't have one. So when we wanted to make tea, or Linda needed hot water to make Jell-O, she'd put this tea or put this water in the tea kettle, and it had a whistle on it, you know? Any of you remember those? And then when the water boiled, you'd have steam shooting out of the snout of that tea kettle, and that was your water was ready for boiling, for tea or for Jell-O or whatever you're going to make. But it says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. It's even steam. And what happens to that steam? It dissipates shortly afterwards. It says that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, our time is valuable because our time is limited. And that brings me to the next point. Use your time wisely. Redeeming the time. Again, repeating C.T. Studd's saying, only one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You think about how you used your time last year. If we live through 2020, every one of us are going to have 8,760 hours. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you're only going to have 8,760 hours. We need to redeem or make the best use of our time because the days are evil. What are you going to do for the Lord? Satan tries to rob us of our time because it is a valuable possession that cannot be claimed. When it is gone, you can't go back and get it. If he can get us to waste our time, if he can get us to use our time on things that really don't matter, if he can get us to use our time unwisely, then he has accomplished his purpose of blunting our testimony for the Lord. Again, as you can tell, I was reading about C.T. Studd as I prepared this week's message. There's another saying that relates to the proper use of time. And here's what he says. Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, blow your trumpet, blow it loud, blow it long for Jesus Christ our Lord. Blow your trumpet, blow the gospel, blow out the truth. Let me go on with the saying now. I just kind of looked at this. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. You know, the devil wants us to keep our lips locked, because if our gospel be hid, it's hid unto them that are what? Lost. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. God doesn't want you to take time to witness, or excuse me, the devil does not want, the god of this world does not want you to take time to witness. The god of this world does not want you to take time to pray. The god of this world does not want you to take time to disciple somebody. The god of this world does not want you to prepare for your Sunday school lesson. The god of this world does not wants you to be able to be involved in serving the Lord or inviting people to church. The god of this world just wants you to go through peacefully and silently. But I'm telling you, I agree with C.T. Studd. Blow that trumpet! Blow that trumpet! Make noise for the gospel! Because you know what? That's why we've been left here. We haven't been left here to sit in the shade and sip lemonade. I know some of you get hassle. A number of you get hassle from family. Because I pray for you, you call and you're desiring that your family comes to know Christ and you try and witness to them and they get all ticked off and they get all angry and they call you names and you try and witness to friends, you try and witness to neighbors. Don't quit blowing the trumpet! Because that's why we have been left here. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. I don't know. I mean, I do know. The days are evil. Verse 17 of Ephesians says that we need to understand what the will of God is. Understanding what the will of God is. What do you think the will of God is for you in 2020? And maybe you haven't thought about it a whole lot, but I want you to think about it. Is it to go again to Bearing Precious Seed and put together some scriptures? Is it to empty out a bunch of those tracts? Is it to pray for the salvation of lost loved ones? Have you prayed about what God's will is? Maybe you want to do a project. Maybe you want to start singing in the choir. If you can carry a tune in a bushel basket, sing in a choir. We need more. If you can't carry a tune in a bushel basket, sing loud out here in the audience, okay? But what I'm saying is, what do you think God's will for you is in 2020? Sometimes people haven't prayed about it. Here's what keeps us from even thinking about that sometimes. Some of you are so burdened down with worries. Some of you have so many anxieties in relationship to your life that you can't or you don't take time to think spiritual thoughts. I'm just telling you that God is always available. He tells you in Matthew, come unto me all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. He tells you, and Peter writes, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let me share some thoughts with what you can do. Number one, establish your priorities. Many people live so overloaded lives with commitments that they can't find God or His will in their lives because they can't fit it in. They can't fit God's will into their life. You know, every day, and I'm sure some of you are this way, every day I have to make choices because every day I got more to do than I can possibly do. But the fact is the tyranny of the urgent can sometimes keep us from serving the Lord or doing what we should be for the cause of Christ. And sometimes you have to make some hard choices, and sometimes those choices aren't easy choices, and sometimes those choices mean that you can't do some of the things that you really want to do. Many people just are so overloaded with everything that they think that they've got to get in their life that they forget Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. You know what it is? If you know what it is, say it with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're a Christian, why did the Lord leave you here? To seek Him, number 10 in the list, and tack Him on if you get a chance. You know what? That's garbage. God wants to be first in my life. God wants to be first in your life if you're a believer. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 18. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. And just let it soak in as I read Colossians 1, 15 through 18, who, in a speaking of Jesus, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and what's the next word?
For him.
So you know what that means? Were we created by him? The answer is yes. We were created for him. All right? And he goes on. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the firstborn, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And then underline this, that in all things he might have preeminence. You know what that is? Number one, first. So if we're to seek first the kingdom of God, and if we're to make Jesus first place in our lives, that means that you are in hot water with him if you do not schedule or make time for daily prayer. That means he expects us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That means that if you have family still at home, you should have family Bible study and prayer. Some people call that devotions. Do you have a time? So your kids are gone. Does that let you off the hook? Not if you have a spouse. Men, if you have a spouse. And I know you're in a hard time if you have an unbelieving spouse, but I'm talking to you as believers. If you have a believing spouse, what are you doing to build her up in the faith? Do you pray together? Do you read the Word of God together? And certainly if you have an unbelieving spouse, naturally, you're going to be praying for him or for her in that. Church attendance. Is church service a part of your life? For a lot of you, it is. I'm grateful for that. But if not, it needs to be. Why? Because I'm the preacher? Are you kidding me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where did that come from? Right there. In all things he is to have preeminence. Where did that come from? I'm just a mouthpiece. And I need to tell myself that because, hey, I have, it's an exaggeration, but I have 97 bazillion things too that are on my plate. And some of them are superfluous. There's probably some things that you can rethink and put way down on the priority list so that you can put Jesus Christ and service to him up on the list. Is there not? There is for me. Plan spouse, children, and other family time in your life. And that's my baby right there. Raise your hand, baby. That's my oldest daughter right there. Raise your hand. My son's in church, at a Baptist church down the road, 20-some miles. I do not regret, listen to me, I do not regret the time that I spent with our children. I do not regret the time teaching my children, even though it would have been easier for me to do it myself. My girls knew that you did not put oil in the radiator. They knew a dipstick from a spark plug. They knew a lug nut from a radiator cap. And also, they knew what biblical character was. And they knew their daddy and mommy loved them. Daddy sometimes came in late, but when he went to the basketball games late when they were playing, ask them. They heard their dad come into the room. Go, Cola! That's my dad. So, I'm just telling you, we've been at it for 50 years and 2 days now. But you know what? We still need to work on it. Do you take time for your spouse if you're married? I'm serious. We still have a date night. After 50 years? Yeah. And you know what? I think she still looks forward to it. Yeah. And I look forward to it as well. Try and have input into the lives of your grandkids. Some of them are getting so big now, but when they come through the line, boys or girls, uh-oh, here comes Grandpa. He seldom shakes their hand. Most of the time, he just hugs them. Oh, Grandpa. But you know what? If you're a believer, try and have teach your grandchildren good character and let them know that you love them. I mean, taking time for those things has lasting value. Well, keep your family high on the list. I got to move along quickly here. And then the next thing is, and don't take me wrong, it's okay to plan for the future if God is in the plans. I'm telling you to do that, but learn to live for today. Let me explain what I mean by that. Two of the greatest enemies of time are regrets of things that we've done in the past and anxieties about what's going to happen in the future. Many people are living either in the past or in the future, and they accomplish very little for God. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," Paul says. But he says, this one thing I do. Now look at this. He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." Listen, if it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, don't beat yourself up for the sinful decisions you've made in the past. Don't do it! Learn from them, but don't, I can't serve the Lord because I used to be a drunk. Well, you're not now. I used to be immoral. Well, you're not now. I used to do drugs. Well, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Don't sit there and say, you can't do anything for the Lord because I had a dysfunctional family growing up. Well, join the club. And then the anxiety of the future, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And you know what? I trust him. I trust him. It could be difficulties. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So many people are so discontent. Why is this happening to me? Get out this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I can't explain things, but I have a God who knows. And friends, I have a God who cares. And I have a God who has been faithful to me for all these years and much more faithful to me than I've been to him. And I'm thankful for his mercy and I'm thankful for his grace. Matthew 6, 34 says, take no thought for tomorrow, all of you who are all twisted up about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We got enough to contend with one day at a time. Amen? I do. What are you going to do for the Lord this year? How are you going to organize your priorities? What's important to you? I'll just end with the same phrase, the same saying that I started with. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ.